Siri, what lit AF Christmas movie did we just watch?
You saw A Night Before Christmas, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Yes! Hello, people of virtual Earth, and welcome to a How Did This Get Made live show coming at you wherever you are, in your living rooms, in your houses, in your ears. We are so excited that you have stayed up late with us, or you're at the right time. I don't know where you are, but we are excited that you are here because we are talking about a Netflix film that really made some people very angry at us. And other people said, I don't know how you could talk badly about this movie. It made me cry. It is the 2019 film, A Night Before Christmas, starring Vanessa Hudgens. And this is part of the, we'll get into this, part of the Netflix CCMU, the Christmas Cinematic Universe. I guess the M is not necessary. Anyway, what do you need to know about this? Well, it's kind of like Elf. It's kind of like Splash, a knight from medieval times comes to Ohio to woo a college teacher who looks like a high school student. And you know what? Good things happen. It all has to happen around Christmas. There's a lot of questions about why any of this stuff happens. We're going to get into it all. And we have an amazing panel because when we do Christmas movies, we actually bring on one of our favorite extra special guests. And we'll bring her out in a second. But please welcome my co-host, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
Boom! What's up, jerks?
Jason.
Boy, we really did it, didn't we? We really did it.
We really have really plumbed the depths of where these Christmas movies have gone.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm coming in hot with the hottest of takes. Paul?
Yes.
Audience, I love this movie.
Wow.
I loved this movie. Kaboom! Huge reveal!
Right out of the gate, he is just laying down cold facts.
I've got takes for days, guys. I've got notes. I've got takes for days. Vanessa Hudgens, yes, British guy, why not? But guys, let them fuck. Please let them fuck. Why aren't we letting any of these people fuck? I'm genuinely nervous.
Christmas movies are so puritanical. It's weird.
Why? What if all of this buildup, all of this story, all of this mystery, and it's like bad sex? What do you do then? It's over, baby. It's see you later. And meanwhile, if it's bad sex, this motherfucker's trapped in 500 years or whatever. When is he from? I forget.
1300, I think.
Fucked. This guy's stone cold. By the way, this guy doesn't have a social security number. How does he survive?
All these characters are coming here, spending money willy-nilly. I'm going to say something to you, Jason, that I thought was interesting about this as well. Isn't this the not having sex? Isn't that part of the buildup of Christmas? Like, what's in the box? What am I going to get for Christmas? It's the excitement of opening.
Wait, are you saying what's in the box? Like Seven? Like,
what's
like,
in the box?
Do you think the end of Seven, that Gwyneth Paltrow's head in the box is a Christmas present?
Yeah, it's romantic, right?
You might want to look into that. You should rewatch that movie.
I thought Kevin Spacey was Secret Santa, and that was his gift to Brad Pitt's character.
Also, I don't mean to correct you straight out of the gate, Paul, but there is absolutely no way that Vanessa Hudgens is a college professor, which is what you said earlier.
Oh, sorry. You know, she's a high school.
Those kids are kids. Those are little kids.
I thought she was a college, but you're right. The campus looks so advanced that I assumed this. So we'll get into all that. Please welcome a co-host who's going to have so much to say that I know is going to be against what Jason has already stated about this film. Please welcome Miss June Diane Rayfield. Welcome, June.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, Jason. Hi, Paul.
Hello, June.
You know, I'm shocked at what I've heard so far.
Wow.
I watched this movie, as Paul knows, under the best circumstances.
What is that?
Tucked away in my sauna bed, sweating my little A off, losing water weight, losing water weight by the minute, and feeling great. And I, you know, that honestly, it's the best. Watching movies that way is the best for me because I can't like look at my phone. A lot of times I get really distracted during movies.
Sure. And
I have to think to myself, like, June, watch the scenes. But it's hard.
But by the way, I see you never with a phone out when you were watching like a documentary or anything like that. If someone's been murdered and you're watching like that phone is off to the side.
Yes. But when we're watching the How This Got Made movies, my mind tends to wander.
You are deep in the TikToks.
Being in the sauna bed, I have to lie with both hands trapped this, like a little burrito.
I've never seen her in I respect my wife too much to see her in the sauna bed.
Thank you.
I want to bring in someone who probably can help us find what is right about this, because she's a person who, you know, enjoys a coconut from one of those roadside coconut stands. She's a person who likes to eat the clams that are closed. She's a person who's an expert on Christmas movies and a hater of trash can fires. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair.
Where is she?
Hello.
There she is. Yeah. Madison.
Back in La Quinta.
Now, just a bone to pick. I actually charged up my wireless headphones, and then told by Paul I couldn't use them.
Hold on now. It was only told
I have to wear these.
I was only telling you couldn't wear them because you were doing your microphone in it. So it sounded like you were talking into a tin can.
What's the difference?
Jessica, we're 8 months into this quarantine. If you haven't figured that out by now, I don't know what to tell you.
We were in the tech for 30 minutes. You could have figured it out. What is going on?
Trying to heat up one of my new hot tools.
You're the one that said,
but now it's ruined.
You're the one that said, I look best in cans. I'm wearing the cans.
You said the cans are part of me and I am the part of the cans.
God damn
you
it.
You said, I am cans. Hear me roar.
Couple things. I have heard you talk about that same passenger, Jason, who went into the bathroom without her shoes on, socks on, like multiple times. So we need to recycle. We got to get a new story. Like they air filter now. Like they filter the air so it's new on these planes. I need a new story.
I'm not telling, stories for you. You're my friend. There's thousands of more. I've heard it on the air.
And the other thing, if anything's going to touch that ground, honestly, I'd prefer it was feet, because I feel like that skin is really rough and like not as
absorb a lot through your feet. You're not like getting
They're pretty much like skin socks.
That's right.
Okay, so now you guys are advocating instead of wearing socks into the bathroom, just wear
put on
bare
your skin
feet.
Socks.
Put on your skin socks. That's going to be one of our promos.
I would have asked for two plastic bags. I would have tied them around my feet and I would have gone into the bathroom like that.
All I'm telling you is I don't want you talking about this on a first date if you ever see another human being again, because it's not a good story.
I want to talk about a couple things here, because last week some people said, hey, are they ever going to talk about the movie?
What I was going to say is I watched this movie in the best conditions possible for me, alone and sweating profusely. And I didn't enjoy it at all. I thought it was really quite terrible.
And I loved every single minute, every single second of it. And I knew that Jason was going to love it. Sometimes we're on opposite sides, but sometimes we intersect.
Wow.
Don't make that hand gesture ever again.
Sometimes St. Clair and I are just scissoring ourselves into loving a romance. I will say I had some problem. I've got notes. I've got lots of notes.
Of course I have notes.
As a woman, I found...
Your Wi-Fi, Jen.
I found the night to be so unappealing.
Well, guys, before
I felt like his curls were too defined.
Careful.
Oh, wow. So June, you didn't like the curls. I will also say there was something about his look that felt very present.
I don't like when it looks like a man is like one color, you know, where you can't see any definition, and I just he didn't do it for me. I thought Vanessa Hudgens was Hudgens was wonderful.
She was wonderful.
Like, she was a discovery. I mean, I loved her in Spring Breakers. I've never seen the High School Musical.
She's great. Like, I also feel like she brings an energy that is like a little bit more like, she, like, we talked about how these movies are a little bit puritanical. Like, I feel like she's down to bone, right? Like, there's like an energy.
When she gives him that like sideways look when he's like fresh from the shower,
yeah,
she's like hungry for it, you know? Which is why I was like, let's go there. Let's let them
not
go
in a
there.
Christmas movie.
Is she currently, because I didn't have time because I finished it right before we get on. Is she currently in a relationship, and was she actually boning that guy? Because I thought their chemistry was off the charts.
Well, let me tell you what Nate Kiley found this out, and I thought this was a great little factoid. Nate Kiley does so much hard work when we have to assign him movies that no one is talking about, like this one. And he found out, he goes, the studio, Netflix, wanted to really get their chemistry going. So they booked them a trip for a week away together where they could actually bond. But at the last minute, Vanessa Hudgens couldn't make it. So he just went by himself.
We getting those type of roles where they're going to pay June and I to go away and try to like get into
our games. I am tech avail.
Damn it.
First of all,
here's what I'll say. This is for the Netflix people or the Lifetime people or the Hallmark people, whoever's watching and whoever's going to finance the four of us into one of these movies. Send us somewhere.
Send me away.
Dig into these characters.
Yes.
Just so you know, I mentioned this in the beginning of the show. Netflix has a Christmas cinematic universe. All their Christmas movies exist in the same world. So, for example, when the knight is watching TV, he is watching a Netflix movie. And then
I was going to ask that with Kristen Davis.
Kristen, yes. Oh.
And then when Vanessa Hudgens talks about this ornament that her parents gave her, that is from another Vanessa Hudgens Christmas movie.
Okay, but wait a second. That doesn't make sense. So they don't exist in the same universe. Vanessa Hudgens's character can't find Kristen Davis's character. They just live in a world in which Lifetime movies exist, or Netflix or Lifetime movies exist.
Well, but here, yes and no.
Quantum physics?
It's not like she's two towns over from Kristen Davis, right?
Well, Kristen Davis.
Can I just say that Christmas Village looked a lot like the Christmas Village that Melissa Joan Hart went to as well.
But it looked better.
But that's not better.
But a lot better.
They had more snow.
But by the way,
better hair and makeup. I mean, better outfits.
Sure.
Partially, I liked it probably more because it looked better. It was obviously like dressed better. Like it had a little bit. And I will say, I thought she was dynamite.
Love the sister. Love those hoops.
Is this underwritten by? Is this a faith based movie?
It's not. She does a lot of movies. Like the other movie that she's famously in is a movie where she plays dual roles. And they actually now just did a sequel to it where she plays three roles.
I've seen it.
What?
So there you go. Yeah.
Is it Orphan Black?
This movie?
Like Orphan Black for Christmas?
She basically works. Like there's a queen in a foreign country. That's where the ornament is from. And then there's I guess she works in a department store and they look alike and they go and they switch boyfriends.
Wait, that's
Princess
why.
Switch.
That's why when they are decorating the tree, the sister goes, it's from Belgravia or whatever. Right, and I thought to myself, that's where she lived. That's where the princess is in her other movie.
By the way, as we were talking about this, why does the knight go from Norwich, England to Ohio? Yeah.
Like, and why is he completely, he is from the 1300s and is unfazed by time travel.
He doesn't care.
This dude
is like, oh, I guess I'm here now. The crone sent me here. By the way, if you're drinking at home, here are the drinking games. The number of times we say crone or crone, the crone is talked about, I think you have to drink.
Old like, crone.
When he is just grabbing older women and screaming "crone" in their face, really very funny.
Oh, by the way, he also can read, which I maybe I'm being a little bit.
That's really taking it to the history books, Paul.
I just don't feel like a knight is like able to read a regular diner menu.
The letters were the monks. No, the monks were doing the writing.
Monks were doing the writing. Knights are not out there like looking at menus. Like, and I feel like he was.
But the problem I had with him as a knight is like for me, there's like a very like sexy British man, but then there's a British man that's too British. And he tipped over into too British territory.
You think he's too British?
He was just too British for me.
He didn't look dirty enough to me.
I want to see
everything in this movie.
I'm like, go have a cup of tea.
Well, he should have been. Oh, please don't start with tea. By the way,
Jason, I want to let you know that there's been a lot of response about the tea, and many a woman has said they would love to be in bed drinking tea with you. There's a lot of librarians who listen to the show. A lot of women love your tea drinking.
By the way, I hope they know he's going to be sipping some tea while he's taking a drop and a big deuce while you're
right
sitting
in front
on that
of you.
I want this on record. I do not eat or drink in the bathroom.
I know you
don't bring stuff up to the room. It's so many rules. Are you ready for those rules, ladies?
Are you ready for those rules, ladies? Put that to the "Are you ready for some football" song.
Are you ready for some rules? I will say that the highest donation that we got, we actually all four of us and more played a game of Among Us, which was complete chaos and so much fun. And the highest donation was $1,500, and it was from a woman who said that she wanted to drink tea with you. So that's it. So these people have a lot of money and a good taste.
I love these librarians have that disposable income to just throw around.
Okay, speaking of civil servants and income, so she's a teacher at a high school.
Mm-hmm.
She's a teacher at like a local high school.
Not a college, as Paul said.
Right, it's not a community college. Yes.
By the way, she looks like she could also be in high school. Like she looks no different than High School Musical.
I don't know if I let these people age. You know,
I had a moment where I was like, I can't believe that Vanessa Hudgens, who I conceive of as from like the Disney high school era, is now old enough to be one of the teachers. But of course she is, because I'm 48, so 1,000 years have passed.
By the way, she also like has like too many deep conversations with these kids. I mean, that first conversation. Can I play that clip? Because it's such a crazy clip. I think it's clip two. This is clip two, where she. By the way, she's 32 years old, Hudgens. 32.
She looks great. I want to know what she
looks. She looks great. 32.
She
that
looks
Jason,
great, and I have to say, I'm always
carrying this movie on her back.
Really,
wow, 32. She's awesome. All right, her birthday is 12/14, just a couple days ago. So she just
happy birthday, Vanessa Hudgens. We're Sagittarius together.
Yeah, sag it up. Okay, here we go. This is a deep conversation. We could talk about it. Over here we go. Take a look.
Grayson broke up with me. I thought he was my one true love, my prince.
But instead, he turned out just to be a frog. There seems to almost be an epidemic of those types around here lately.
You know, we all grow up fantasizing about being a princess and finding true love with a knight in shining armor and living.
Pause for one second. When we watch this, June turned to me and said, I didn't, never did.
Never, not a once.
What's amazing is she right here, and then maybe 5 minutes later, the knight, both tell other characters the exact plot of this movie as if the audience is not able to follow it.
Yeah. By the way, also people in the chat right now are like, talk about the wig.
I feel upset about that because it's a child, but that wig is so disturbing, but I feel bad. I don't know. They did her dirty and I don't know.
Guys, I need everybody to stop for 1 second. If you look behind Vanessa Hudgens' shoulder at the date that is on the blackboard.
2019?
December 18th, 2019.
Oh my God. It's one year ago today. Your birthday, this conversation was happening last year.
This was on my birthday? What is happening?
Are you going to be transported back to 1333?
Am I going to be magically transported into this movie to fall in love with Vanessa Hudgens? I mean, yes, please. Where is the crone?
Well, I want to talk about something that happened last night while we were watching the movie.
Uh-oh.
And as I said, I watched most of it in a sauna bed, but I watched the first 15 minutes.
No more. There's 40 minutes left and you say, I gotta take
this to the sweats.
Sweat this one out.
I gotta sweat this movie out of my pores.
I really did. I did detox this movie. So I like look over at Paul. I just happened to look over and I said something and he was Googling it. And I see that he has Safari on his phone in incognito mode.
Ooh. Interesting. A
lot of secrets with him. Incognito mode.
And did you
All right. You know what? Sometimes I go on bagelandlocks.com, which is a really great internet website.
You mean when coffee meets bagel?
What were you looking at?
Yeah, I
don't even know your password to your phone. I mean, I guess I do, but
you
I don't
do
really
know my password. You can look at anything in my incognito mode. I don't know why. You know, I think
you can't because it disappears.
I can.
You can say that all you want after the fact. Oh, isn't that the you seem like you're willing to share, but of course. Oh, but it's impossible.
Maybe I was looking up Miracle-Gro and the other kind of.
Here we go.
Interesting.
It is interesting, Jessica, and I just want it known.
You were so upset that I had incognito mode on.
I didn't even know. I've never heard of incognito
mode. By the way,
what do you mean you never heard of it? You literally looked over at my phone. You said, why is it on incognito mode? I didn't even know. Like, it was so like.
When a woman has almost been murdered by their own husband, you have to get to know the ways that you would hide things.
Here's the thing.
That's self preservation.
The first thing the private investigator or security expert is going to tell you is clock everything he's doing on his phone and computer because that is going to be the trail. That is going to be the trail of how to. By the way, look around June for other phones.
Don't look in the toilet, baby.
Don't look in the toilet. That's where he's hiding stuff in the toilet because he knows you guys don't do bathroom stuff.
But by the way, here's the thing that Juno is just saying. Like, we'll joke around and Juno like, oh, I don't have a time to have an affair. I'm just too busy. Like that, their only reason is she's too tired to have an affair. So that is.
I wish I had a little more energy.
We're trapped inside the home.
I was saying that like you can rest, you can go to sleep at night and rest your head because I just don't have the energy.
Wow. Well,
people are making a movie about you two. What I want to see are these two falling in love.
You might just be dehydrated. I mean, listen, you have a legitimate glow about you, but you might be very severely dehydrated from the sauna bed.
Can we also talk about this? How, like, Vanessa Hudgens is a high school teacher who lives in mansion.
Okay, I think max she's making, I don't know, $36,000 a year.
Her parents are dead, guys. They left it to her. Her parents are Deadsville. Both of them died.
That's her parents' house?
Yes.
What did they do?
Can I ask you guys a question? Did anybody else notice that every single building in small town Ohio has castle-like stonework inside the house? Her house, every doorway has stone archwork. That's her home.
Wow.
It's like straight up Adam's family shit.
I think they're trying to connect his castle in 1300 England to here.
What's that frame on the fridge? Just a still life?
But by the way,
just the landscape.
This is the guest house. The guest house has two fucking doors.
Like, the guest house is decorated for Christmas, like hardcore.
And yet,
Can I just say, I did like the costumes in this movie, and I really loved Emmanuel Chiqui's.
Chiqui.
I loved Shariki. I loved her costumes. Loved her look. I love those bangs.
We have some of the costumes.
With the exception of, I thought everybody's costumes, frankly, were heads and shoulders above all of last week's outfits.
Well, I mean, Netflix.
Everybody cares.
Right.
Everybody seemed like they were living in the real world, I guess, is more what it seemed like. Everybody seemed like they were dressed for reality, not like some weird thing, you know?
It felt like these people had been lit and showed up onto a set as opposed to
they were lit AF.
A home video shot, you know?
Probably Amazon is paying for it. Amazon probably is like, hey, it will give you more lights if you just give us a couple more beauty shots of that Alexa, which the Alexa makes. The Alexa is like the fourth character in this movie. I mean, Emmanuel.
There was a fake Alexa in last week's movie.
Yep.
So like that's another trope now that we're seeing in all of these. Like there's so much overlap because this movie also has Small Town Bakery inside of the movie.
You're right. Now let's look at some of these outfits here. We have a bunch of outfits. You guys can stop as we go, but this is like, guys, we can keep this.
Okay, I want to talk about the outfits for 1 second. Did anyone else know that Vanessa had 7 coats?
She definitely wore a different coat once a day.
Yeah, every day. Like, and I thought that the fur one was very medieval inspired. Thought Love was going page. Into these things. Do you know what I'm saying? They're doing extra thought.
But I would love like, the woman doesn't have that many coats to be rotating in and out.
That's true.
How many winter coats do you have? Even when you lived in New York, I maybe two.
Here's what I'll say. I'm not going to begrudge her coats. She's working hard for a living. Maybe there's a Burlington coat factory and she, you know, got them at a good deal. I don't know, but like
Ohio, most women in Ohio have 4 to 9 coats. That is a fact. You can look it up in a Farmer's Almanac. 4 to 9 coats.
Begrudge her. This is the Gilmore Girls of it all, right? Lorelai had no fewer than 41 coats. And I didn't begrudge her that because they were giving me a fantasy. And that's what I want when I tune into a film like this. Well, and that was what was delivered.
The rule on Gilmore Girls, I know this, was the rule on Gilmore Girls was Lorelai has in her closet as many coats as Amy Sherman Palladino has hats. By the end of the show, Lorelai had 4,000 coats.
By the way, people in the chat are wondering, is this a crossover between Gilmore Girls? There was a lot of shared universe between this and Gilmore Girls, Jason.
This felt very similar to last week. The small towny elements felt very Stars Hollow.
Did you see this question on the screen where this movie mostly takes place in Bracebridge, Ohio. Any connection or correlation between this and Gilmore Girls is Bracebridge Diner. Oh, wow.
Where's the Bracebridge Diner in that's not Luke's, obviously.
I don't know what that might be, a place that they order from, but we never go to, although I'm not sure.
It happened in season 2, episode 10.
Okay. Wow. I gotta go check. Great. I'm gonna dive in again.
I didn't know that. So I'm legit curious.
Notice in this episode. This episode, Jesus, this what are these things that we're watching? This movie and the last one, that redheads seem to show up and every time they show up on screen, I'm like, uh-oh.
In the lexicon of these movies, a redhead is dangerous.
Trouble.
Redheads, and by the way, I will say that this redhead was a kindly redhead, because when she does approach him at like that Christmas Eve dinner, she's a kindly redhead because she really throws out the sex at him. And when he feels like, hey, look, I got to take it, she's like, you know what?
I know, but that's so funny because to me, when I think of redheads, Jessica Sinclair, you'll appreciate this. I think of Anne of Green Gables. You know, to me, a redhead is a woman who's been like, I mean,
unless you're thinking about Jessica Rabbit, right? Isn't she a redhead?
Oh yeah, she's a redhead. Very sexy. I mean, very sexy.
I feel like
have you ever seen my hover hand on her?
The what?
What's that?
My hover hand on Jessica Rabbit.
What's your other hand?
I don't know what three of those words are.
Fuck.
Oh my God.
Go back to incognito.
I don't even know what my hover. Are you about to go incognito mode on us right now?
All right, so just because you brought it up, I got to see if I can pull it up. But so when I went to...
Please, don't pull it up. We're live.
Please.
When I went to...
Jessica Rabbit?
Well, you know what? Now I don't even know if I'll be able to find it. But when I went to Orlando, Florida, to MGM Studios before it changed over to Hollywood Studios, they had a whole Roger Rabbit like area, and they had like a standee with Jessica Rabbit, and I am there with my white socks pulled up almost to my knees, my white pants, my Batman shirt, and I have my arm around the standee of Jessica Rabbit, but I have a hover hand because I don't want to touch her bottom. I don't want to put my hand too much around her waist. I'm being respectful.
Please don't say touch her bottom.
God.
That's the dirtiest thing you've ever said.
Oh my God. Good job, guys.
God,
there it
help
is.
Us.
There it is. There
I,
lo-
I do
you
love
won't
you.
Even
look,
touch.
At, look at how respectful
I
you're
do
being.
Love this man.
You're being so respectful of a standee.
I do love this man.
You look like
you were about to hit the tennis courts in your tennis whites. What is this outfit? Too cute.
This is me and my dad just hanging out in Orlando, just doing it up.
God, I love your dad so much.
That is phenomenal.
Can we talk a little bit about the crone and her hair? Because
her hairstyle
is a beachy wave when we encounter in the 1300s.
Oh, yeah.
Like literally, like I would try to achiee that.
The crone has not been out in the jungle. The crone has not been in the wilderness for too long. She looks great.
She's wearing like a tablecloth and like an Afghan rug on top of her. She's like, I would have put her in animal skins if it was me, if I was going to go period.
Yes.
And then, but I feel like the actress, and June, tell me what you think. I feel like the actress who they cast was much like you and I, total bitchy. Like, I'm going to wear this hair. Like,
I am the crone,
but I'm going to look good.
Yes, but crones can look good. And having to have that conversation with hair and makeup and wardrobe, and that's a tough conversation to have.
Here's what I'll say. I feel like both the crone and the knight, in olden times, when we see them in olden times, they are just simply, as we said earlier, too clean looking.
I wish
she was a bit more rugged.
They look
she's as clean as a car.
Not my knight.
She lives in the forest. Yeah, she should be covered in mud, and so should he. You know,
that's the problem with this whole movie. Everything looks like no one has ever lived and touched it. Like when they take out Vanessa Hudgens' car, like when the knight drives it, that car is
okay.
Because that's a Subaru commercial. Subaru paid for the other half of that movie.
When she lets him drive, she is tacitly agreeing to be an accessory to vehicular homicide.
Yes,
she does not know how to drive.
She's like, take it. She's got a lot of issues, but she's hot for him. I want to just do a little compilation that our producer Avril cut together of the old crone. Take a look at the old crone. The old crone talk. So get ready to drink because we're going to get a lot of old crones here.
Crone. Taking your pop. Old crone. Taking your pop.
You look so sad.
Can you maybe stop calling my wife an old crone?
Can you stop calling my wife an old crone? It is.
By the way, this movie had like actual funny jokes in it. I will say this movie had actual, and maybe it is the juxtaposition of last week to this week just made me like this one more. Yeah. But this one had jokes that for me worked. And so like this runner of crone also, Paul, do you have, and I don't know if you do, there are multiple scenes in which the knight and Vanessa Hudgens have some sort of interaction or whatever. And the actual crone is like in the background.
Oh yeah. Just in the background, checking it out.
Like straight into lens, like.
Oh, old. No,
look,
I wish
I would have cast you, Jason. If you wanted old to get a crone, I would have cast you. Like just cast covered in like a bear suit.
Guys,
you know what I mean?
Mandzukas for crone.
By the way, here's what I felt bad about.
Here to take Roles away from old women. That's what I'm here for.
The woman who had to play not the old crone is the one I feel the worst for, because I felt like she really got done dirty.
Because she let herself. That's the point. She had under eye bags. Those can be concealed, but you got to push it.
The chat. You,
you have to say, like, you have to be willing to say to hair and makeup and wardrobe, like, do you want the director to come down and hear from me?
By the way,
do you want me to go out there unhappy?
You can say, I'm going to act like an old crone. Yes. I'm going to act it. Yes. I don't need to look like it.
Yes. Trust in my acting. Okay. Yeah,
I can bring
wardrobe to be crony.
Can we just show, I know we've been very respectful of the makeup, but can we talk about this fucking Santa?
This Santa's the worst.
The worst.
Like, this is where the curly hair is a problem. This curly hair, here, as far as I'm concerned, Santa does not have curls. Not my Santa.
Here's my theory.
Never my Santa.
He was probably told to keep it down, but he inched it up as to give himself a fringe. Surrey with the fringe on top. He just fucked up to the point where,
because that looks like it's all him.
Why would you just put a little bit of bang? Why have bangs?
Why, why are you trying to be a sexy Santa when this is not about sexy Santa? It's about sexy knights.
Also, do you know how many people look like Santas in this world? It's got to be easy
to cast.
He's also hanging out at that village 24/7. Like, at one point, he has a conversation with Vanessa Hudgens or the knight, and then he's like, I got to go. Hey, kids, where are your list? Yeah. It's like, he's like a wandering Santa. Like, what is that?
Here's what I would have been into. Instead of him being like, hey, will you stop calling my wife a crone? If he would be like, hey, I'm about to go to the crone zone. Right?
How long were you sitting on that one?
I've been percolating that one. Hey, what do we say? What do you say we take this to the crone zone?
Can I ask the women?
That's my next relationship. My next relationship begins with that sentence. Go ahead, Paul.
Let me ask the women a question here.
You're one year closer to the crone zone today, Jason.
So true.
I have noticed a couple things here in these Christmas movies. And I would say a great Christmas movie like Elf has a similar thing. And I want to ask you both, and I'm very, very serious about this. Do women want to fuck a complete child dummy? Like, because I feel because it's like, look, an elf, like,
is that what you were searching in incognito mode?
Yes. No, because it's like, there's something funny. It's like, you have a Zooey Deschanel.
Women want to fuck small boy?
But it's like, it's a weird thing.
Remember big?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a weird thing where it's like women want a man who is definitely attractive, but his mind is childish. Elf.
Well,
Nutcracker.
Yeah.
It's like why
women were like, Beatlemania was based on the premise of like, these are safe boys that almost look like girls, and so they're safe to us, and so we can sort of like young girls can explore their sexuality.
That's like the teeny bopper, the original Justin Bieber.
Grown
like that
women, kind of- yes, grown women. I cannot claim. Okay. I cannot claim these women who are.
You would,
as future crones.
Yes,
I would say
I'm a crone in training.
Have CITs.
A CIT.
Crone in training might be the shirt. Crone in training.
Crone in training.
Crone zone.
I would say that
we could do a series of crone based shirts.
That part of him is not attractive to me, but what is and what consistently got me going on the downstairs.
Oh, you're a grown ass crone.
But what did it for me was anytime he was protecting her valor and, you know, for her honor. And he was like, I'm going to kill that guy. Like, the fact that he was going to like put a sword through that piece of shit, who, by the way, seems to be stalking her everywhere she is. He's there. The ex.
Once again, a grown man is allowed to wander a small town with a deadly weapon and be like,
sword.
Threaten people with it. He holds that sword to a man's throat and says, should I kill him? And people are like, no, you shouldn't. But you can keep the sword. Like, this is a mentally ill person. That cop should be arrested for public endangerment. Letting this guy leave with the sword?
I know that we talked about this earlier, but the idea that, like, well, that was her parents' house. Well, her dad was a cop in a small town, so he could afford a giant house. Also, like, this cop was like, she's like, he's like, well,
I mean, it's Ohio real estate.
I guess Ohio real estate. So she says, I did look at Austin real estate one time in incognito, and I was like, wow.
Somebody else.
Can I ask who is this?
I will not rest until June.
I love my wife, and I'm so sad that she passed so young.
This is weird. I just Googled that, and Austin Real Estate is a porn actress's name.
She
has an OnlyFans account that has only one subscriber.
I don't know what you're doing incognito, and I'm fine for all of it to stay incognito. Like, the last thing I want is to for it to actually come to light. Like, I keep it incognito. It's okay.
All right, let me ask you this. The Christmas tree lot, can anyone explain how the Christmas tree lot works? Is it a lot, or is it a place where they've planted trees?
People bring their own axes.
Right.
Okay.
There are kids running around.
People are chopping their own trees down in the town, inside the town, it feels like. So they're just, there's an area of town where they have like a forest of trees that every year can be cut into Christmas. It made zero sense.
Well, because my dad used to plant Christmas trees in our backyard.
Oh,
and
great.
They do take years and years.
Of course. Well, yeah, to get to a certain height, of course.
That's why there are Christmas tree farms, literally.
Right, of course. So, but all of those Christmas trees were full grown and seemed to be in the spot that was like, oh, this is where we sell them.
It's almost like a place where the parking lot where you go to buy to get a tree during Christmas.
Yes. Right. And it seemed like everyone was given an axe and no. It was like, it felt like a little bit of a novelty place. Like, we'll give you the axe. You could go do it, but you don't have to actually go into the forest to do it. And right. Like that one guy, like it felt like a little bit like you pay actually even more money to cut down a tree, but you're not really doing anything. I feel like
that's okay. So that should have been what it was. What it should have been is that the knight misunderstood, thought he was going to have to cut the tree.
Yes.
Took his sword out and started chopping at it. And Vanessa Hudgens should have been like, oh, no. All we need to do is pick it out. It's already been cut down.
Yeah, because right. He put you it on the top right. of the car without any problem.
But that's but his, not hot.
He whacks it and it goes down. And then the other guy is like, oh, I see how to do it. You got to do that. And then you are like, wait a minute. So by the logic of this, these are actual real trees that everybody in town.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
So
yeah.
Like after Christmas in the town center is just a barren area of stumps.
And then they have to start planting again. Yeah.
That didn't make any sense.
But they have to plant them years ahead of time, June. According
maybe
to
that's how you fucks do it in Ohio. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, they fly planes low in Ohio, because at one point when they do that insert shot of like a plane overhead, you know how loud it would have been in that area if the plane flew overhead that low in Ohio, like when he first cuts to Ohio.
The steel dragon.
By the way, somebody in the chat saying that they use Miracle-Gro.
Until June winds up ahead.
Can I just show
another,
you?
I will say another, like last week, another movie in which
gets put to bed.
What's that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the woman falls asleep and gets put to bed.
It was related to that. Another story in which a young woman immediately brings a what should appear to her a stranger having a mental illness episode to live inside her house with her.
Yeah, the cop is like, hey, we'll let him wait till he gets his memory back. And she's like, I'll take him until he gets
I'll
memory.
Just take him to my house. Make sure he has his sword. Imagine. Does he still have his broadsword? Great, he can come to my house. What?
It's sending a message that we should be concerned about to young women, for sure. To Crohn's, it's sending the right message. Crohn's got to take whatever they can.
Whatever Crohn's can get. Shows up on your door and you're Crohn's, and you got to open the door up and let him in.
Here's my pitch. Here's my pitch. Lifetime or Netflix or whoever, let us make a holiday movie about Crohn's.
It's
called the Crohn's Zone, or it's called I don't know what it is yet. We have
Crohn's with Crohn's. They are suffering from Crohn's disease.
That's what makes them fatter. Can I ask you both? Well, I know June's answer on this one, but just did Dan ever
put you to bed? Don't speak for her. Don't speak for her.
I'm not speaking for her. Wow. Has Dan ever put you to bed? Has he ever carried you to bed?
Never. First of all, it's a grown person. When I try to take my 7-year-old from my bed to hers, I can barely hold her. So I mean, I don't know if you're
I'm always asking Paul to pick me up because I put you to bed.
You have? What sense?
Oh, I've put her to bed. I've like helped her undress and get her to bed and get her tucked in and everything. I've done the whole thing.
Yeah, he has. He hasn't like lifted me up like a baby and brought me over.
Is it like when you fall asleep in the car, he comes around and picks you out of there and without waking you brings you into bed?
When we got married, I carried her over the threshold. Come on, guys.
That makes total sense. That's appropriate. That's like a tradition.
Yes.
It's very romantic.
Yes. And I did one time lock Paul out of our home and I found him, unfortunately. That's so terrible.
I wish it was in the Pacifica, though. I wish it had so much more room.
I found him. I had a panic attack. I woke up and it was 8 in the morning, before we had kids. And he hadn't called. He hadn't texted.
I did call.
But I couldn't find my phone. And I was panicked. I'm like, Paul, where is he? And it was a 3-bedroom apartment. I can't find him. And then I see a series of texts that have come in and phone calls. And the last text said, I'm in the car. And then
I run outside
to the driveway, and you know the Prius has that like slanted back, and I see that Paul Scheer is sleeping, huddled up with like a blanket, like a beach blanket, and he's like sleeping on a cooler, and a sweatshirt over him. And that is a tight space. And
I made do in the moment. And I wish it was in the Pacifica because I would have had so much more room. I would love it
if somebody would do fan art of just that image.
Yeah. And
beautiful fan art, really classy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say that because I'm a very, very heavy sleeper. So
you're not though. You yelled at me this week about being a drug addict. You woke up, I came into the room, and you're like, it's like being married to a drug addict. Because I was like going to bed at like 2:30 in the morning.
You go to bed very late, you go into incognito mode, and I don't know. what you're doing, okay? I'm playing NBA 2K.
I have a player. We're in the playoffs. It's no big deal.
Most couples like go to bed together? Like, I see
you go to bed at 7 o'clock at night,
like reading books side by side.
That's not true, like, is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Not every night. We go to bed sometimes together.
In this pandemic, people are trying to carve out. Not Jason, of course, because he's in a fortress of solitude, but you're trying to carve out a tiny...
I'm not doing it on purpose.
For yourself, aren't you, though? Don't you feel like you need an hour or two by yourself? I mean, I'm waking up very... No, Paul.
Yes, yeah, like, no, I mean, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
The only time you're alone...
Yeah, that I do feel like at night there is a nice moment when the kids are asleep and I would love to be with my wife, but I also just want to have like a moment where no one is asking anything of me and I can just really be zoning out. And I'm normally folding laundry while I'm doing that, but that's okay. That's fine.
Folding, is that what you call incognito mode? Folding laundry.
Why did you roll your eyes at that, June? Like you rolled your eyes like I do the laundry.
I like that part of your self alone time is also making sure that I just know I'm doing chores most of it. Most of it I'm like pretty much between laundry and the dishes, cleaning.
And I appreciate it. I do appreciate
what if folding towels and stuff was just you were doing it in virtual reality in a game? You were just
like you're doing like a Sims
game called Chores.
But well, there is a compulsion to doing laundry. Like when we've gone away on vacation and like day one before we've arrived, he's like, should we put a load in?
Wait,
and
I'm like,
no. I do like it. Look, if we have a laundry machine there, why not put it in and get it clean and ready to go?
Okay, so I'm with Paul on this one because what that means is I can bring fewer things.
Exactly, and Jason.
Wash them while I'm there.
I want to relax. I want to go travel. Listen, vacation for me is incognito mode. I want to divorce myself from chores and let someone else do it all. Like, I don't want any of it. And Paul's immediately like doing loads.
I think
we need to stop using loads.
Doing loads.
Do
you want that shirt cleaned? I'm like, I'm wearing it.
No, that don't say that. I don't do that.
But hang on. He's just trying to take you to the Crohn's.
Yeah, get that Crohn's. Oh, baby.
Trying to get you out of that shirt.
So I don't understand. I don't understand exactly what the curse is, because the curse is lifted when he kisses her, but not falls in love. I don't know. But I wanted to show this kiss. This is slide number 11, because I want to look at Vanessa Hudgens' hand. This is sent to us by one of our listeners. Take a look at this, where her hand is here.
Huh.
No.
It looks like a doctor pimple popper or something.
She's getting in there.
It's a little bizarre.
I wonder. Like, she's gonna. It's a weird.
Like she's hanging on. She's hanging on to the chainmail, and I think she's doesn't know where else to put the finger.
Can I ask a question? Is her nail polish metallic?
Possibly. Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah,
and that's a nice detail.
They're tying them together, just like the stonework in all the houses and the castle.
Yes,
they're tying
that.
Together. Chainmail. She has a metallic.
Is also thing. Like. As a person, always at Coachella. Like, I feel like I'm always seeing pictures of her in like string shirts
and like an Isabel Marant boot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's always at Coachella. I mean, so I feel like those nails may have been a leftover.
Can we go back to that picture for a second? Can we go back?
Yeah, let's go back to picture 11 there.
June, to your point from earlier, and also to our Santa point, this guy's bangs, this should not be happening. His hair should not be peeking out of his chainmail. Just the same way that Santa's wig shouldn't have been peeking out of. Guys, no peeking. How many times do I have to say it?
People are saying a wispy bang. It's a wispy bang. We don't like a wispy bang. And let's go to our audience here. Let's see what the chat has to say. All right. Steve Shappy writes, wouldn't it make more sense if Vanessa Hudgens was a history teacher instead of a science teacher? Yes.
Because there was one line where she said something like, oh, hold on, the king was blah, blah, blah in the 1300s. And I'm like, this bitch just go like incognito and like Google that shit, you know?
Why wouldn't they make it a change? Because there's nothing that she does that's any bit about science. She doesn't have to help them get back. She's not Doc Browning it.
And it could have been something that really brought them together. They could have had shared, like if she knew about specifically his era or even his like his period of like knighthood, you know, that would have given them a connection that frankly, the only connection the movie gives them is she hits him with her car and then is kind of like dreamy over him.
Can we talk? We haven't even mentioned the dad with four kids.
Oh my God.
That's like the opposite of Melissa Joan Hart movie, whereas the mother with five kids.
Yes. Now I don't know if she was was she a single?
She was single.
She was single.
She was a redhead.
Well, people want to know, is Megan Merry Christmas wants to know, is the sister of Turkey Sub, which is a reference to On the Line. Yeah, it was.
I actually love the relationship between Hudgens. I felt that they had something, the two actresses, and there was a natural chemistry between the two of them. And the sister wasn't, I mean, I was upset I wasn't offered the role, didn't get a chance to audition or show what I might do. But, you know, so that was hurtful.
I will say that
I did read for the Crown.
I will say that the sister losing her daughter. The sister losing the daughter in the forest, which I just am remembering right now, and then the husband coming home. I didn't like the husband for her.
I was surprised to mom. Him.
I thought she was absent.
And I liked it.
I liked
his
it better.
Daughter almost died, and he was absent.
So that was the only time I was attracted to the knight, was when he was telling that little girl to snail over. I do like seeing men save children.
Let me ask you a question. I felt like that in the movie, they did that scene in a way almost as if It was a public service announcement about what to do.
If will you ever forget it, Jason? Will you ever forget it?
It was so step by step, though. Yep. That's why, okay, a number of times I wrote down, is this a faith-based movie? Because I feel like in certain instances, they like the man with the dead wife and the four children, they really dug into like weird stories or things that to me felt like hopeful or educational.
Like when they gave the single dad those gifts, that was a very religious moment. The town chipped in and we honor you, you know. Yeah,
that was inappropriate to have him publicly like receive that. Like,
I would have had it wrapped up and put it under their tree as if he did it.
Yes. Absolutely. Let them experience that in private. Like the pageantry of it, I'm like, you all really revealed yourselves and what your charity is all about.
Felt like they were patting themselves on the back rather than, why not let him have this with his children?
Oh my God, this man's wife has died and he has to raise four kids on his own.
He's got two jobs.
There's a scene in which Vanessa Hudgens and her sister and maybe the knight are all talking about that guy, Dave, I think is his name, where for like a minute and a half, they're talking about, and you know what? He still finds time to volunteer because it's important for him to show what service is important.
Because
I was like, well, who is this for? What is this?
I thought we were supposed to, I don't know. Wasn't
there a box that you check?
Like, he kept on trying to figure out how to fulfill his quest.
But I guess to me, what I think is more to the point is like a Christmas movie needs to check certain boxes. Like you did an act of service and we're showing like Home Alone even has these things where you're like, we're showing community, we're showing family, we're showing this. Like, so you need to like kind of hit these like hallmarks.
But it was weird though. There were jumps the movie makes where sometimes I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Because she says the reason why they have that event is because her parents, who are both deceased. That's sometimes why I hate saying both of my parents are deceased, because it feels like such a movie moment. Like, both? Really? Wow. And so soon, one after the other, like it feels insane.
Right.
But, and it's felt insane in this movie. But, her parents, who are both deceased, have had this Christmas party for people who didn't have anywhere to go on Christmas. Like, okay, well, that's something I thought we were going to replicate. No. What we're now doing is hosting, with the same spirit, an event where everyone can come and we sell tickets. And then the proceeds and profits from the tickets go to families not who are alone, but in need. It was such a strange journey to get there.
It also came up, and maybe it was, forgive me if it was mentioned earlier and I just didn't clock it, but it's at minute 47 that she says, I might need your help pulling off this holiday feast. And I was like, what holiday feast?
This is what we're driving for.
By the way, this movie
is an hour in.
They do a lot of weird stuff. Like there's a moment too where, I mean, I had an issue with this, where they're decorating the tree on Christmas Eve, but yet she has a whole nother house that's fully decorated. Like she like saved the tree until the, I don't understand that conceit that you would decorate the tree the night before. Martin Morrow, Lee from Recipe.
Seduction.
So thank you, Martin.
Huge reveal.
We'll talk about Recipe for Seduction or a little bit. Cole came from the year 1334, but liked oranges. How was this possible if oranges weren't introduced to Europe until the 16th century?
Because everybody was getting the scurvy. That's why they were all getting the scurvy.
Boom. 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 Wow. Boom.
Oh my God. Eye people are bringing to these movies. And I really appreciate
that's what I really appreciate. I like, that's what I kind of wanted in Recipe for Seduction. Next question. What do we got here? Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead. Oh,
no,
Nancy. Do you agree with the film's 70% Rotten Tomato score?
I love that. You think it should be higher, bad. Jessica? That's so good.
That's good.
If we're rating it on a scale of Christmas movie, I mean, like holiday TV movies, like what we're talking about, then 70%, 100%.
But if we're comparing it to like,
real regular movies, then of course not, right? But like in its category, this is certainly better than Holiday in Handcuffs and the thing from last week.
Feliz Navidad, Melissa Joan Hart's new movie.
Oh, maybe. Well, I can't speak to that because I haven't seen it yet.
It is a movie that was shot in COVID protocols.
Which I mean, Snow Dad is better than No Dad. But listen, for guys, let's remember that this movie, to me, I don't know. Maybe I just, again, maybe it was just because last week was a rougher slog. This one went down like a cold, like, I'm sorry, a hot glass of hot cocoa.
Me too. Which I wish I was with you, Jason, while we were watching that. I really do. Wouldn't that have been a dream?
It would have been a dream, but then it would allow. Then it would have meant that I would have had to have tell you where I live, which I'd rather not.
Next question.
Don't know where he lives.
Balcony Monster 2020 Baby writes, where did the dog come from? Great question. This dog just straight up appears. I also think this falls into the category of the niece not even having a name, just referred to as niece. There are a couple of
magic.
And never get a puppy. Never get a puppy.
I learned the hard way.
By the way, that's you've changed your opinion on that, by the way, June.
Put your coffee bean down, sir.
Never get a puppy.
Nope.
I guess puppies do need somewhere to go, but unless you really feel like you can handle it, it's too hard.
You can't handle it. You can't handle it. It almost broke me. Thank God.
I think that one of the other things this movie doesn't figure out is the magical element of the movie. Like, clearly the knight and the crone and the magic of Christmas gave the niece the puppy, but they don't give you any, in a movie that is full of inexplicable rules, they don't give you any, they don't line it up enough that you're like, oh, that's cool.
I still think the biggest problem that they had was they had the title, A Night Before Christmas, and they had no journey to be like, how do we get this guy from Norwich, England to the States? Like, there's no logic.
It's not hard either. Like Outlander, again, as I told you, Pile Drive, etc.
You should read it
my friend.
Incognito.
No, well, yes, by yourself, I'm sure. Sweat it out and read that. But they touch he touches a stone, like a mega, like one of those monoliths, and then it just transforms her back in. It's not that hard to come up with a reason that there's a tear in the time-space continuum. But just give me a reason. Give me where it is.
Yeah, but he's also like, well, I guess I'm here. Cool. What are we doing? I'll try and drive my car. I'll wear these clothes. I'll do this. I'll do that. No, yes,
just make her an American person in Norwich, England. There's no real, like, you didn't need to, like, you know, you didn't need that's to get right. in that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like right. Holiday. Love that movie.
Holiday.
Isn't there a movie where somebody is a knight from olden days and comes and finds Meg Ryan?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's Hugh Jackman, right? And it's called
Hugh Jackman. That's what it is.
Yes. Okay.
Isn't that this movie, but not Christmas?
Yes, but deal a lot more with his confusion. One of the things that isn't that fun is to watch someone for an hour and a half be like, what's happening to me? Like, you want to, like, quickly get to, like, and I'm in your house and I've used right.
and I'm
towel.
Dealing with the Alexa. Yes.
And I'm in a towel.
And I'm getting the vote out for Georgia. I'm just doing it. I'm just in the mix.
Just get it.
Maybe that's our movie. Our movie is
Unfazed by time travel.
Yeah, people who are constantly moving through time but are completely unfazed by it.
Oh, June has left the picture. Kate and Leopold is in the movie.
Did I say something? Was that
I mean,
bad?
She really, I wonder where she's going. All right, so our last question here. Krista writes, my question is, do we think it's okay that one, they put that child in that wig, and two, that her teacher was deeply invested in her teenage love life? Because, by the way, she really comes into it, and then the end scene, which we also have too, that's the other video that we have, video number 7, where she kind of wraps it up for her. Here we go.
Oh, he's getting a sleepy time.
No, it's not sleepy.
You will never believe what happened. Whoa. Grayson is begging me to take him back.
Oh,
right? I told him to forget it because true love only exists in fairy tales. And from now on, I'm only focusing on my goals.
Paige, I was wrong.
Whoa.
But you said...
No, it's not about your goals. That's good. But about true love.
It does exist. Really? No, it may not come around that often, but when it does, you'll recognize it. When someone loves you completely for who you are and you want what's best for them too, even even if it means it's not with you. Oh, sorry. Well, it's okay. Okay.
Okay, lady.
She's
Merry
like, Christmas, okay,
you Crone. Yeah, you just had a future Crone. Crone
is
training.
That's when you're like, oh, fuck. Guys, I saw Mrs. Mrs. Hudgens out the other night, and she said some fucked up shit. She's crazy.
Guys, no nuts. Joke. I had, this is not that funny, but I'm just remembering that my junior year soccer teacher, my teacher called me into his classroom once. No, he was the soccer coach, and he was like, "What are you doing messing around with that guy?" I was like, "Wow, couldn't you think, you know, isn't there someone better?" And I was like, huh.
Interesting.
I had a similar
weird, Jessica.
That's that just like a buried memory just came back to me.
Wow.
Unearthed by Vanessa Hudgens. Anyway.
I had a similar thing where a teacher brought me in. A teacher brought me into the room and she said to me, she's like, "You know that kid, David? She's like, he's a real bully. And, you know, if he ever does anything again, I think it would be fine if you just punched him."
Oh, my God.
And she gave me permission to fight this kid in sixth grade. So the next time he did something, I was like, no, my teacher said I could do it. And I was like, bam. And, yeah, it was a pretty... Yeah, I really punched him.
Did you go to the teacher afterwards and be like, "I did what you said"?
I did say to my parents that the teacher did give me the okay. But they didn't really hold water because the parents did try to sue us.
They did?
Yeah.
Of course. Oh my God. This is another chapter in the harrowing childhood.
Yeah, that was
you need to do your own Angela's ashes, but it takes really quite upsetting.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
That scene made me think. Clearly it made all of us think. And I really credit, hats off to Vanessa Hudgens and her performance. She is easy on screen. And I'm excited to see where her career goes. But I will say, like, it made me think, actually, what if I had, when our children are teenagers, and Jessica, you have a daughter, but like, I don't know that I'll be telling them like, "Oh yeah, I think I will be downplaying love and, you know, falling in love at that age because."
Oh, at that age.
At that age, because
my mom made me buy a fucking diamond ring for a girl I was dating in sixth grade. I mean, like a fake diamond ring.
That's a story. Unlike Jason's story about going to the bathroom in the airplane, I want to hear that story over and over and over and over and over and over.
My mom's like, "If you like her, buy her a nice ring." And I went to Macy's, and then we went
that
to Macy's.
Is
my,
bananas.
I didn't even know what I was doing. Now I think about it, I'm like, "Mom, what were you thinking?" But
I mean, ask you a question?
No.
Did you get married in high school?
No, sixth grade,
is
Jason.
June, you have another second wife?
Sixth grade.
I'm sorry. Junior high school. Is that junior high school for you?
It was. I mean, I guess. Yeah. My God. I'm so embarrassed by it now that I think about it. I gave a girl like a fake diamond ring. She's dead now.
What?
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Is it a cold case? I mean, I think we might have a suspect.
Jesus Christ, she's in your attic.
People are asking in the chat, is that the girl that I kissed at the musical? Yes, it was the girl I kissed at the musical.
You Jesus. So wait, what age were you when you had your first girlfriend, Paul?
Like fifth or sixth grade.
Oh, I wish.
Oh,
I was
no way.
Begging for someone to give it to me. No one would. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. We have a lot of opinions here, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It's now time for a second opinion.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. This movie fucking sucked, but 5 stars all the way.
Bad opinions, bad opinions, bad opinions, bad opinions on Amazon.
He was sent here from medieval times just to not fuck Vanessa Hudgens. Very wholesome, I'll give 5 stars.
Yes, great grouping of things. There are no Amazon reviews for this movie. These are from IMDb, but they are they're 10-star reviews. Nate Kiley did all the research here, put these together. 10 stars. This is written by DGKT for. It was wonderful. I love it so much. It was wonderful. It was really interesting and dreamy. It could be longer though. I wish they would make a sequel. And then this one from Joey Amore, 10 stars, goes, better than a Hallmark sweet film with few flaws. Excellent. Fun movie. Fairly accurate in the medieval aspects. Don't let the naysayers turn you from watching it. I highly recommend 10 stars.
Yep.
Whoa!
Right there. This is another one from Perry. Perry writes, can't believe the negativity. This is a great movie. Josh Whitehouse is fantastic, extremely likable, and very funny. I love that in this time travel movie, the driving force isn't how confused and freaked out the traveler is over and over again. Cole is clearly a Renaissance man looking for his mission as a knight. He keenly observes everything and learns quickly from his observations. It's clear he doesn't spend too much time questioning what he doesn't know or understand and is open to the fact that just because something can't be logically explained doesn't mean it's not possible. Instead, he focuses on the moment and what matters and being kind and compassionate and level-headed. I also like that Brooke is accepting and accommodating. Vanessa did a great job too. 10 stars.
every single one of these reviews.
These are great. Yeah. And then this is from Ewok. Ewok writes, honestly, the yub main nub. Draw for Ewok this film.
Yub nub, yub nub.
Yub nub, ichachi nub, yub.
Nope, nope, nope. Nope.
Ewok writes, honestly, the main draw for this film had to be the fact that I am from Norwich in England. It's a bit more than a castle and a barn now, but all in all, I enjoyed the film. 10 stars.
Cute.
From modern day Norwich. And then this one, this is from Elmo Blade. Elmo Blade writes, what? A wonderful movie that was made. I watch a lot of movies, especially a lot of medieval movies. Yeah. There's a lot of Christmas movies out there, but none like this one. And they made a wonderful Christmas movie by adding a medieval knight. I wish they would make a second one where she goes to the castle and then they make a series. If y'all watch it and like the medieval stuff, you'll be happy and you'll feel the same way that I did. 10 stars, a must watch. I love it all. We have one more thing to talk about, which is the KFC movie, but anything that we missed, anything that we want to chat about here before we get into whether or not we would recommend this movie. Yeah.
I had a couple of lines that I wrote down just because I was like, there was a lot of stuff in here that I was, the kissing was very chaste. I loved when he was just riding around the woods screaming, crone, crone, crone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I also thought his name was problematic. Sir Cole just ended always like Circle. And that was a rough, no one like said it out loud until it was too late, I felt like.
I loved when she said, you're telling me that single-handedly stopping a thief isn't quest-worthy? I was like, this is again, I want to congratulate Vanessa Hudgens for selling lines that are tough. These are
Is the universe, the and Netflix Christmas cinematic universe. She's
constantly having to give exposition. She's constantly trying to sell lines.
She's
doing an incredible job. Sorry, there was a bunch of stuff that I was just like, all the stuff about mead, which is an alcoholic drink, but then in the real world, again,
he thinks it's hot chocolate.
In the movie last week, there is no alcohol in the lives of people in these movies. They're not allowed to drink alcohol or have sex. No adults can do either of those. Which I thought
one thing I found extremely disturbing was when
Oh, wow.
Jessica, no.
What a great way to get her out. What a great way. Wow.
I had honestly just found the right level for her. Like after Jason finished, I was like, oh, Jessica's starting. And I just found like just the right level that was right for Jess, but right for everyone else.
Do you think that she did not have her computer plugged in? Like
she definitely didn't. It just died. She was riding on like 8%.
What do you like? What's the likelihood she's still talking at her computer right now?
Oh, yeah. She does not know that she's off. She's talking to Black Mirror. She's like right in there. I started following Vanessa Hudgens on Instagram after this because I'm like, she's up incognito to some fun stuff. No, not incognito. I showed you the video of her covered in blood, like licking her fingers and stuff. She's like, doing some crazy shit.
Yeah.
She had an ex-boyfriend. I liked that all of the dynamics worked better for me than the dynamics. Again, I keep comparing it to last week's movie, but they just worked. It made more sense, this movie. And now, that being said, what didn't make sense is, like, Emmanuel Shariki's daughter comes very close to dying. Like, they're supposed to go out and have a sword fight, and instead they walk all the way down to the river and are standing on top of it.
Get to the bottom of, like, why did she go out there? She didn't seem like that type of kid.
It's like her friends convinced her. Her friend, like she said, my friends went all out here and we got lost. We went too far. Oh, hey, welcome back.
What happened?
Welcome back.
What happened, Sinclair?
What happened?
I really want to know.
Was it, well, so I assumed you that you just ran out of battery.
It wasn't plugged in.
Is it ever?
It wasn't plugged in.
I'm sorry.
You were so happy. You texted me this week and you're like, I found the plug to my computer.
I want to read the text, Paul, that came in from Jessica this week. Because I was actually like, it really made me
You do
sad,
need those cans, like, Jessica. Put those cans back on.
Oh my God.
Cans on, get settled.
You're not plugged into the wrong thing. I can't get
this. This is incredible.
Paul and I like received a text from Jessica this week that actually like it concerned me because I was like, oh, did she think we were upset with her? I really was worried. And then this. Okay, wait. So let me find the text. Paul, have it with you?
I have everything off, like I told our audience.
What you don't know, St. Clair, is the timing couldn't have been better. The timing was incredible.
The cans aren't plugged into anything. But
what do you mean? Can you hear us?
No.
You can't hear us? Why are you saying
answering us?
Jessica wrote. She wrote.
Okay, wait. I think I got it, Paul. Hold on. Okay.
I hate myself so much.
Okay, so Paul and I get a text from Jessica. And what's playing right now?
I don't know, June. What's on their computer?
I don't know. Do you hear something?
June's computer is everything is open.
Oh my
for
God!
You.
It's me. What is that? Do you hear those bird noises?
Probably YouTube. Just close YouTube.
Okay. Does anyone hear those bird noises, or it's just me?
No. I love that you're like slamming Jessica, and then you're also doing Jessica.
Sorry, I know. So Jessica wrote, "Is it okay to say this, Jessica?"
Yeah. Sure. I'm losing my.
Yesterday at 1:07 p.m., Paul and I get a text. Now, we had also done, as Paul mentioned, a live charity show, me, Jessica, Jason, Casey, Danielle, a bunch of different people. And there were also, like, everybody was on and Jessica wasn't on yet. And there was some concern. I sent my obligatory, like, we're all here text.
I sent a text to you, too. We all sent logging on.
Yeah. And then the next day, we get a text from Jess yesterday. Guys, to me and Paul. I just want to say thank you so much for including me in these fun Zoom shows. And an apology for being late to tech of each one. And a hot mess. Upon reflection, I think I've been in resistance to anything that has to do with organization during this pandemic. And I've decided to get my shit together.
So I just wanted to say sorry.
I love you. I found the cord to my computer and downloaded Google Chrome. Love you.
I know, but
Can I say something? I think the t-shirt.
All the things he had me order don't fit into my computer. That's your computer, June. It's the same one. I bought the same one you had.
Okay, first of all, my husband was trying to help you, Jessica. Okay.
And by the way, I hope you feel pretty good.
The t-shirt for this show, one of the t-shirts for this show should just be a transcription of Jessica's text. Just text of yes. what you just read.
And I think people,
I would like audience members to send us dramatic readings of Jessica St. Clair's text to the group.
I would love this.
I feel terribly because people like really need to understand that Paul and I didn't say boo. I was just like, I love Jessica. She can come.
We were so happy to have you here.
Always. Like I accept you. Everything about you.
And with that, I ask you all, would you recommend this movie? Jess, it goes to you first. Would you recommend this movie?
What were you going to say before you? And didn't you see just last question, Jessica, didn't you see like, oh, I'm at 8%. I'm at 7%. Like,
I'm two in the morning.
She doesn't even know where the plug is.
Didn't a window come up that says you're running out of battery?
No, you know why, guys? Because I live in the moment. Just like that actor who plays the knight who's giving you eyes and Vanessa Hudgens taking it minute to minute and moment to moment.
That's right.
Okay? I'm here with you. I'm not checking my phone, okay?
The question is this. Would you recommend this movie?
No.
Jessica St. Clair. Okay, June, no. Jessica.
100% yes. Yes! Just like Jason. I would recommend Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris. That's what it's supposed to be pronounced as. It's supposed to rhyme. Emily in Paris.
please don't ever do that again.
Emily in Paris.
Paul, please.
June, we know Emily how you feel about men. We know how you feel about men drinking tea. How do you feel about men speaking in accentuated French accents?
I loved that. I loved every second of it.
I love my love.
No. I say yes. I recommend this movie, especially if you are if you're searching for a holiday movie of right now, blah, blah, blah. I mean, listen, I would go with some of the others. I would go with your
Nuts.
Love Actually. Like you said,
very controversial. Very controversial.
Clea and Mary Holland's movie.
The Happiest Season, which is really fun.
The Holiday.
I would watch Scrooge first, but yes. I will say this movie totally worthwhile watch.
It makes me want to get into the Netflix Christmas world. I'm like, this is kind of a competition with Lifetime in a good way.
Put us in the Netflix world. We're ready.
June's already in it.
So Jess.
I mean, I'm not in the Christmas Netflix world.
Netflix film. Are you telling me, June, that Vanessa Hudgens' character didn't watch Grace and Frankie? I dare say she did.
Oh, my God. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, if they're already watching Netflix on this thing, I would recommend it. I really like it. I like Vanessa Hudgens. I loved her in Spring Breakers. I've seen High School Musical. She's 32, so I feel okay saying that. I think that she is, she's doing a great job. She's doing a great, great job.
You said Spring Breakers a couple different times, which
June did.
You didn't believe it.
June said it. Okay. Yeah, it was June.
I just thought maybe there was
Paul definitely has some incognito feelings for Vanessa Hudgens. I'm positive about it, and it's okay. I've got enough confidence in myself. It's fine.
You should. You're a beautiful woman. You're a beautiful woman.
I do.
You are three times of Vanessa Hudgens.
Listen, I'm almost crone, but.
Do you think when you are swaddled in your sauna bed, is Paul just like incognito searching to his heart's delight because he knows you're trapped in a sauna bed?
I am trapped. Now here's the tough thing. Like actually the best way to get in your sauna bed is to have someone else put you in. Like put you to bed.
No, understand
Christmas style.
I'll do that for your birthday. For your birthday, I'll tuck you in.
Bed is weird. I think that's weird. Adults, as I drink my tea, I will say adults putting adults to bed is weird.
Do you remember what you did to me? I don't think I've told the story before on this. When we were flying to Los Angeles, there was a Lifetime movie called May I Take Your Order about a person who was abducting women from who were like doing the, you know, may I take your order, that he would like take them and then
and then do bad things to them. And Jason said, I don't think you can handle this movie. I would not suggest you watch it. And I said, don't fucking tell me what to do. Like, I'm a big girl. I'm going to watch this movie.
By the way, first insinuation that you might not be a big girl is when you refer to yourself as a big girl.
Yeah, I'm a big girl. And then we went, this is how truly psychotic he is. Then we went to the place we were house sitting.
I was right. You shouldn't have watched that movie.
He waited until I fell asleep in the other room. He kept himself up. Then he crawled into
what
the room.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Jason?
He crawled into the room.
It's so good.
And whispered in my ear as I was in a deep sleep, may I take your order? Which I fucking almost had a heart attack. Do you know how psychotic that is?
That's really disturbed and demented.
Here's what I'll say, Claire, you have told that story multiple times, including on this podcast. So you were shaming me earlier.
I've never heard it.
You were shaming me earlier for repeatedly telling stories, and here you are repeating a same story. But I will say that story is 100% true. I tried to be a good friend to you on the plane and said, don't watch this movie. You're going to be scared. And then I was like, if you're gonna
make sure that you're scared.
Yeah, listen, I'm here to help.
Look, I've done that too. I mean, look, I had to promise my wife that I wouldn't put her on scare tactics in our wedding vows. So I understand. I understand not trying to scare a person that is close to you.
Holy shit! Oh my god, this has been a fucking delight.
We have two things to hit, which is, all right, let's talk about this Kentucky Fried Chicken movie.
I have a crone headache. Like, I have like a crone.
before we play this clip, so actually pull out the clip for 1 second. So the Kentucky Fried Chicken movie. A Recipe for Seduction. I know only a few of us have seen it. And it's a 15-minute mini movie that is essentially like a hidden ad for Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? That's, you know, it's like in the style of a Lifetime movie. And I know that everyone was like, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Because they thought it was real. Then it wasn't real. And it's only 15 minutes. Thoughts? Anyone want to talk about it? I can jump in first and say, I thought it was fine. It was neither ridiculous to the point where I wanted it to be, nor was it as serious to be dissected. That's kind of where I felt about it. It was neither here nor there.
I don't like it when people who aren't actually funny try to do funny things.
Yeah, I just feel like you got to commit one way or the other. Like when Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig did that Lifetime movie, it was
Deadly
so
fucking. It was so perfect. I want to rewatch that. That was so fucking perfect. And they played that so beautifully, the two of them.
Because this thing was like branded content, it was neither nor. Neither could they make go after hard jokes and kind of do a send up of a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Nor was it like what you're saying, Paul, nor did it take itself serious enough that it would be fun for us to dig into.
Women in the Ann Taylor Loft suit blazers coming up with the idea. Now, that being said, all I watched was a trailer. So, and my computer ran out of power.
I will say this, that everyone in the film is fun and fine. Everyone's doing a great job. Yeah. It just sort of is like, the best part is what we have right here, which is our producer, Avril Haley, cut together this montage of the amount of times that they said Harland, which is Harland Sanders, in a 15-minute movie. And it's shocking. Here we go.
Harland.
Yes, Harland.
that is a lot of Harlands for only 15 minutes of content. That's that. You know, you can watch it. It's on YouTube. God bless. And I just want to go around the horn and give everyone a chance to talk about what they want people to know about. And I'm just going to lead off with one thing that's not for me, but our engineer, Devin, who is just one of the best. He has this 52-track album. It's a charity box set that he wrote and recorded from 2003 to 2018. It's available for $15 on Bandcamp. And every penny goes to Girls Rock Chicago and She Rock in Minnesota, rock camp nonprofits supporting girls, women, trans, non-binary musicians with equipment, resources, and opportunities to make their own music. You can check it out on Bandcamp. If you don't want to spend that $15, you can also check it out on Spotify, which is also there. But it's called The Beginner's Guide to Birds. It's a 52-track charity album. So definitely, I just want to plug that and go check that out. It's great. It's really, really good. And supporting Devin is supporting some awesome, awesome organizations there. But now I'll go around to all of you.
Gosh. Well, Devin, that sounds incredible. And yeah, I hope everybody checks that out. And just a special shout out to all of the all of our listeners who are quarantining alone and following the rules and doing the right thing to keep us all safe and handling the holidays alone in their houses and apartments. It's so hard. It's just so hard. And yeah, just a special shout out to everybody who's staying at home for the next, you know, for the next month or so.
Jess, yeah. You want to give some tech?
And happy birthday, Jason.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, today I did something that made me feel happy, which is an emotion that we don't feel as much these days. This organization, Baby to Baby, and it's baby and then the number two baby, does all this incredible stuff. But one thing you do is like adopt, you can adopt a family or a kid who, you know, wouldn't get presents from Santa, and you get their profile, you go out and you go nuts and buy them all the things that they want, you know. And I gotta tell you, it was like supermarket sweep. I'm buying for a 12-year-old boy, and it was just like, I remembered, like, oh, that's what makes us feel better in times of you know, strife. It's to help other people. I haven't done enough of that. So anyway, if you guys were thinking of something you wanted to do, they need diapers and all sorts of things. And yeah, just go on their website, Baby to Baby. But I'm telling you, it's a rush. It's a rush.
And to that end, I'll say, you know, thank you to all of the people on the front lines working in hospitals, working in putting your lives in service of helping sick people get through this. This is absolutely a terrifying time. We are experiencing an unprecedented amount of loss and grief in this country and around the world. And so thank you to all of you people, everybody who are genuinely, selflessly putting yourselves out there.
I just want to say thank you again for everyone tuning in. This has been such a fun thing for us. I know that seeing your reactions online have been, I don't know, there's an energy here that I never thought that we'd actually be able to get. And I'm so happy that we are able to get that and share this in. And if you missed the first week's show, or you want to tell other people about it, we're going to actually open up and extend the videos for about a week as a little bit of a Christmas special. You can kind of go and revisit these episodes if you've not seen the video versions of them, because as you know, they are a little bit longer and a little bit different than our audio episodes. And I also want to say that, yes, in addition to Feeding America, I belong, or not belong, but I support this organization called Donors Choose. And Donors Choose supports classrooms all across the country, and it really helps teachers. They basically, any teacher anywhere in the country, you can put in the zip code that you want. They'll say like, hey, I need this for my classroom. And you can go and support that. And I have like an ongoing donation there. And it's really kind of what Jessica was saying. You can really support certain classes and help them achieve a goal or play a part in the goal. And it's a great organization. I want to give a huge, huge shout out to Cody Fisher, who is our producer here, who does so much work for this show. It's not technically her job, and I appreciate her, and I appreciate all the work that she does all year long. And I say the same thing to Molly, who is my amazing assistant, MVP, helps me get through the entire thing and is just absolutely wonderful. A big shout out to our producer, Avril Halley, who pulls these films and these clips and makes these trailers and works her ass off to supply us with such great stuff. Nate Kiley does all this amazing research. Of course, the ghost of Craig T. Nelson, who designed all these amazing posters that you saw on Instagram, and Kyle Waldron as well. Finally, I know we already talked about Devin, but Devin, who doesn't even work so much in so many ways on all your favorite shows, and he is just A+ in my book. People, we love you. Thank you for being here. Happy, happy birthday, Jason.
Thank you, everybody. Are the best. Happy birthday. Thank you.
And good night. Thank you for being here. Bye for now.